Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Kilala Kol podcast. God willing, this Shabbos HaGadol, we'll be reading from Parshat Mitzora. And like in last week's Parshat, Parshat Tazria, we focus mainly on the spiritual affliction known as Tzara'at. Tazria discussed the discovery, the official diagnosis of Tzara'at, while our Parshat, Parshat Mitzora, focuses on the process of healing and purification. And as we mentioned last week, the Torah describes Tzara'at as appearing on one's body, one's clothing, or one's home. And the Gemara Masachet Arachin Daf Tzayin Amud Aleph tells us that there are seven different possible reasons as to why a person might be afflicted with Tzara'at. Most famously, of course, is Lashon Hara, but included on the list would be murder, false oaths, forbidden relationships, arrogance, theft, and stinginess. Now, in the Torah's discussion in our Parsha regarding the Nigei Batim, Tzara'at of the home, the Torah tells us, Ki tavo el eretz kenan, asher nivtein lachem la'achuza, v'natati nega tzara'at beveid eretz achuzachem. So Hashem tells the Jewish people, this is in Perek Gedalad, Pasuk Lamed Dalad, that when the Jewish people enter the land of Israel, there is a possibility that there could be tzara'at in a bayit, in a home. Uva asher lo abayit, v'gid la'kohen le'mor, kenega nirali babayit. And the person will come to the Kohen, and they will say to the Kohen, Kenega, something like a nega, like an affliction, has appeared in my house. Now Rashi, quoting the Mishnah in Masechet Nega'in, in Perek Yudbet, Mishnah Hey, notes that the person specifically uses this terminology of Kenega, something like a plague, something like an affliction. Says Rashi, Afilu Talmid Chacham Sheodea Shu Nega Vadai. Even if you have a big Talmud Chacham, big Torah scholar, he knows all of Masechet Nega'in backwards and forwards, so still, Lo Yivsog Davar Baror Lomar Nega Direli. He still shouldn't say that I know for sure that this is Tzara'at, and now I need you, the Kohen, to come and help me. He's not supposed to say that with certainty. Ela kin nega nirali. He should say that it is like something which appears as though it is a nega. That's what he should say to the Kohen. Now, all the commentaries over there in the Mishnah try to figure out why is it that he specifically has to say kit nega. So if you look, for example, the Tosfot Yom Tov, he suggests multiple reasons as to why this might be. And the first suggestion that he offers from the Re'im is based off of Gemara Masechet Brachot Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where we're told, lamed leshoncha lomar eini yodea. Person needs to train themselves, train your tongue to say, I don't know. That Chazal are telling us that we need to have, we need to be able to develop certain habits that will keep us from becoming too confident, to keep us from thinking we always know what's right, what's going on, so on and so forth. And we want to make sure that a person has a certain level of humility. So even if you're 99% sure, you can't be 100% sure. And therefore, it's important to say, kinega, it's a like, it has the appearance of, but I can't say for certainty. Only the Kohen can make the official diagnosis. Okay, that's one possibility as to why a person should say kinega. Like we said, the Tosfot Yom Tov brings additional, at least three other reasons. But maybe we could suggest a little bit differently. Perhaps the Torah is teaching us a very, very important lesson. Perhaps the Torah is telling us that this person shouldn't be so confident, not to say that they know or they don't know, but they shouldn't be so confident to say that what he or she sees is in fact a nega, is in fact a plague, it is in fact a matter of affliction. While it may be tzara'at, and one may have to go through the difficult and expensive purification process, still one can't state emphatically with great certainty that it is objectively nega. It's objectively something which is bad, something which is affliction, something which is plague. There's a famous parable. I don't think that it's of Jewish origin, but we'll use it nonetheless. That might help us understand this idea. The parable tells the story of a farmer who had a horse that helped the family earn a living, and one day the horse ran away. So all the neighbors come to the farm, and they say, look, your horse ran away. That's really terrible luck. What a shame. So the farmer said, maybe. And a few days later, the horse returned home, and he brought back along with him a bunch of wild horses that now the farmer would be able to use. So the neighbors, they came up to him, they said, wow, your horse, not only did it return, but it brought several horses home with you, or with it. So that's an amazing thing. That's great luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And then later that week, the farmer's son was trying to ride one of these new wild horses, and the horse threw the child from its back, and the child broke his leg. So the neighbor said, oh my gosh, your son, he broke his leg. That's terrible luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And then a few weeks later, the soldiers from the National Army, they marched through the town recruiting all the boys for the army, but they couldn't take the farmer's son because he had broken his leg. So the neighbors, they exclaimed, wow, this is unbelievable. Your boy has been spared. This is tremendous luck. At which point the farmer said, maybe so, maybe not. We'll see. The point of the story, as you could tell, is that we never know what the consequences of misfortune or good fortune will be. And only time will tell the entire story. In fact, if you look, Rashi tells us, quoting from the Midrash in the Vayikra Rabbah, that this tzarat of the bayit, the fact that there may be an affliction on the house, even if the kohen comes and says officially, yes, it is, and even if he has to go through the whole expensive purification process, nevertheless, says Rashi based on the midrash, bisurahi lahem shehanigaim ba'im aleihem. This is actually good news. This is positive tidings that Hashem Moshe is imparting to the Jewish people, that there could be tzarat of the house. Why? Lefishet minu emori im matmoniot shel zahab bikiropa tehem kol arba'im shana shayu Yisrael. Because the Amori people, they were hiding all of their gold, all of their wealth in the walls, concealing treasures in the walls of their homes during the period of time that the Bnei Yisrael were in the Mibar. And if you remember, due to the purification process which is involved for the tzarat of the bayit, it involves demolishing the house. So the Bnei Yisrael, what would have happened if they had tzarat in the house? They would have taken down these walls and, oh my goodness, they would have discovered amazing treasures. So says Rashi, you're going to knock down your house. That's a terrible thing, maybe. But what happens when you knock down the walls? Oh my gosh, there's gold. There's treasure. This is an amazing thing. So what appeared to be a nega was only kinega. It looks like an affliction. But once those walls came down, once we started going through the process, it was actually quite fortuitous. At the end of the day, the Torah is telling you anything which appears like it's nega, you really have to say it's only kinega, because I don't know what might come from this. It's impossible for us to tell whether anything that happens to us is objectively good in theory or even bad, which is why we're told to have the humility to say kinega, and to always lamed l'shoncha lomar eini yodea. We have to say, when we experience something which feels very challenging, we feel something which is very painful, lo aleinu, we shouldn't have to have those feelings. We should be able to have the perspective to say, yes, but kinega. It's only like a nega. It's bad. It looks like it's nega. It feels like it's nega, but who knows what might come from this? And it's such an important lesson always, but especially during these challenging times where we're continuing to grapple with the atrocities of October 7th, the ongoing battles with Hamas, Hezbollah, now even Iran, at least openly now with Iran, our hostages are still in captivity. There's so much anti-Semitism. We have to remember this idea that it definitely has the appearance of nega. This looks like pain. This looks like suffering. This looks like challenges. This looks like terrible, terrible affliction. But it's kinega. That just like the afflicted individual in the Torah, they can't say with certainty that what they see is a nega, so too we can't be so quick to label our current difficulties, our current trials, as purely negative. We know that the Jewish people, we have faced adversity time and time again throughout our history, but we've always emerged stronger. We've always emerged with something better and something greater. That doesn't mean it was worth it. It doesn't mean it wasn't painful along the way. But while it had the appearance and the feeling of a nega, it was kinega, in that something good always comes from it. And again, it doesn't necessarily give us any real nechama, but we have to remind ourselves that this is what it's about. Our afflictions that we face today, they seem almost insurmountable. But we have to remember, lamed l'shon chalomar eini yodea. We have to train our tongue to say, we don't know. We don't know the full story yet. We don't know the hidden treasures that might be revealed through these difficult times, through these challenges. Our history has taught us time and time again that what appears as a nega is only kinega. It looks like affliction, but it might actually conceal hidden blessings. And like the treasures discovered in the walls of the afflicted homes with the tzarat, goodness can emerge from adversity. So in the face of that adversity, let's be resilient. And let's remember that just like tzarat can lead to purification, it could lead to healing, it could lead to treasure, we must embrace uncertainty with faith, with humility, trusting that ultimately goodness will prevail. It feels like nega. It looks like nega. But still, we have to have the humility to say, kit nega. We just don't know what kind of good will come from this, and we're confident that something will. Shabbat HaGadol Shalom.